Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Good evening, Hello. Ladies. So, Flo and I are very, very happy that you're here with us this evening to hear about this wonderful journey we're going to do to the south of France. Isn't that right, Flo?
That's right, honey.
Okay, God, I you're going to put me right off my track here now.
Oh, dear.
Well, ladies,
I can tell this is going to be a wonderful trip, and it's very good. Yeah. Lots of laughter.
this trip to the south of France is an amazing journey. It's a very inspiring journey. It's a major transformational journey because we go in search of Mary Magdalene, and she's the one that finds us. And she, everybody has amazing experiences because we have different initiations that we go through with Mary Magdalene that she takes through us through in the first couple of days, and she puts us through different little initiations, and anything that we don't want to look at in our lives, she kind of brings up for us to look at. And she brings it right up to our little face and says, you know, are you going to look at this aspect of your life? It is, you know, sort of every year. I've been doing this tour now. I've done it like about 14 times. And every time I do it, it's different. And it's, you know, because every time you go on a sacred sites journey, even those of you who've been there before, you're at a different place now. Your body's at a different place. The sites are at a different place because your vibration has changed from the last time you were there. And it opens you up to new experiences and new understandings. And if you look at last year, which is Awakening to the Soul's Journey, we had all sorts of chaos and challenges and everything else in our lives. And here we are this year, awakening to our soul's divinity. And this is going to be just such a magnificent year because there are so many wonderful energies coming in and all sorts of things are going to be pushed in our lives and in the world to bring about a better world as we move more deeply into the fifth dimension. And of course, you have all the energy of the Divine Feminine, of the Divine Mother, Mary Magdalene and Jesus. You have this sacred union that's coming together, which we will touch into very much in France. And, you know, if you look at it, that Jesus brought us to Christ consciousness, which has nothing to do, as we all understand, with Christianity. It was a consciousness. And then you had Mary Magdalene, who was the soul of that consciousness, because his job was to bring it through, and Mary Magdalene's job was to birth it onto the earth. And as you know, nothing can be birthed without the woman. And so to me, I firmly believe that Mary Magdalene is the soul of the Christ consciousness, and that's why she is such. And I also believe that she was the earthly incarnation of the Holy Spirit. She took aspects of the Holy Spirit, and she was the earthly incarnation of it, as was Mother Mary. And they had different roles, but they were earthly incarnations, as was Isis, of course, also an incarnation of the Holy Spirit. And it is very interesting because where Mary Magdalene has her cave in St. Baume in France is that whole mountain is sacred to Isis. And it was sacred to Isis for many, many thousands of years. And it was sacred to Isis before Mary Magdalene ever got there. And it was a place of pilgrimage to the goddess for many, many years. And as we get there and walk up this, but the first day when we get there, we don't go up to the grotto because we go to, there's a church. Whoever has all that noise in the background there, if they would press *6 and mute, then we wouldn't, it wouldn't be as distracting for other people. Thank you. And I'm sorry about that, but it does distract people when there's background noises. And So we go to the hostel, and this is a beautiful chapel, and it's in the old hostel where the pilgrims used to come 1,000 years ago, and it's now run by the Dominican sisters, and there's Dominican priests there as well. And
Simbar, maybe you could do a star five. Why don't you do a star five, and that will mute us all until you're ready to talk.
Okay, well, let's see if this will... Okay, now all callers are muted, and if you want to ask me any questions, you will just have to unmute yourself. Flo, if you would unmute yourself so that you can talk as well, that would be great.
Okay, I'm unmuted.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And this chapel is amazing, and it has amazing frescoes in it. And each of the frescoes are different. And every time I go there, and I have been there for, as I say, 14, well, I've possibly been there because some years I do two trips. And so I've possibly been to this chapel at least 20 times. And every time I go there, I see something new in the pictures, in the frescoes. And the first time I went there, there was major fires going on in France. And I was not able to go up to the grotto. And because the grotto was closed, all the access to all the sites were closed and where there was any possibility of a fire. And I was in the grotto, or in the chapel. And the lady who was driving me around after about an hour, where I was in front of a painting in this fresco for about an hour, having this amazing experience with Mary Magdalene, and she came up and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Are you ready to move on?" And for the first few years that I went there, I had amazing experience in front of these frescoes. And so the first day we will concentrate on the frescoes and people having different experiences, and I won't tell you what will happen to you that night, but something will happen to you, and we will discuss that after it happens to you. But you will have an experience on the first night. And and then the following day we come back and we go up to the grotto. And here we go to the grotto. It's a good 40-minute walk. And it's a steady climb upwards. And you need very good shoes to do it, because there's little pebbles on the road. And going up is no problem. It's the coming down, because the pebbles, you know, the way they move about underneath your feet. And if you don't have shoes with good grips on it, you can find yourself sitting where you don't want to sit with a sudden little movement. And then you're trying to lift your, get yourself up off the road. And so anybody who likes to, who's coming at it and likes to use a cane, you know, those ones that you can fold up and everything else, I would bring one. Because if you like to have those, they definitely help you with walking up and down. There's about 3 or 4 places that we will travel that these canes would be very happy, you know, would be very helpful for anybody who needs that little bit of extra support. But the cave is an amazing place. There is, within the cave, there is the source of the water. There are 1, 2, 3, 4 places where Mary Magdalene did ceremony. There's 2 downstairs in what I call the crypt part of the grotto. And then up there's Mary Magdalene and it's a statue of Mary Magdalene, and the angels are lifting her up. And then there is a place up there where she did water initiations. Extremely powerful place. And so we have to do a little work to get in there, because the Dominican priests don't like us going in there. They tell us it's reserved for the priests and stuff like that, but we don't pay much attention to them. We just do our own thing. And we sort of keep an eye out so that they're not around when we're doing what we need to do. And so they have some of it roped off, and they tell you it's reserved for the priests. But we work around that too. And because there are extremely powerful energies here that we need to connect in with. And that is our day at the cave. We will have, and on the way up, we will stop at a well, and it is called the source. And this is beautiful water, and underneath the mountain is the largest water source, an amazing water source, thousands, millions and millions of gallons of water. And all the trees that we walk through are at least 1,000 years old, and they're oak and they're beech, and all of them have there's like some amazing stories about this. And it is said that Hiram Abiff actually sought sanctuary here when he became persona non grata. And so there's all sorts of stories about French kings and queens and coming here to the grotto. There's stories of how they went up on their hands and knees. There's all sorts of wonderful stories that I will share with you about it as we walk up there. And Flo also, I'm sure, has some wonderful stories she's going to share with us. And so if you have any questions, Flo, or if you want to add anything, just jump right in.
Thank you. I will.
And then from there that evening, we leave there, and then we go to Arles, and we overnight in Arles. And Arles is an amazing city. It's a very, very lovely city. And it was known as Little Rome, and it's got its little Colosseum and its amphitheater, and it's got St. Trophimus Church, which is an amazing church. And within it, you have all sorts of symbology. It is an amazing church of symbology to do with the Knights Templars, the Grail family, all sorts of different symbology to do with the Mary Magdalene journey. And then there's the Church of Mary Magdalene, which we will visit, and we will be able to view a Templar commandery, which is just outside of Arles. So that is, and so we will spend the morning there, and in the afternoon we will depart down to St. Maurice de la Mer, and we will have a little picnic on the beach. And anybody who wants to swim in the water there, where they put Saint in on the 24th of May each year, you can. And then we will have an hour or two at the beach having a picnic, and anybody that wants to swim. And it is then on the 25th of May, they bring Mary Jacobi and Mary Salome. And they bring them from the Basilica all the way up to the beach, take them in, bless them with the water, and then come back again. An amazing time if anybody is ever there on the 24th and 25th of May. I prefer the 25th of May myself. It's not as hectic and as frantic as the 25th of May. And so that is it's a wonderful time. Then we will go to the Basilica. And the Basilica is where St. Sarah is. In the crypt of the Basilica is St. Sarah. And it is said that St. Sarah is the daughter of Mary Magdalene, and St. Maurice de la Mer is where the story says that they came ashore. And we have there the relics as well of Mary Jacobi and Mary Salome there. There is a well within the church. It's a sweet water well. And there is an amazing ley line, energy line that runs through it. And there's one, two, three power points in the center of the church. And then there's the well. And the well people have all sorts of different experiences at the well. I was at the well one day about 10 years ago, and I just had my hands over the water. And suddenly I'm watching this whole movie about how I had abandonment issues. And all the times I was abandoned in my life, I was not even aware I had abandonment issues. But by the time I had left there, I knew all about every time that I had had a feeling of abandonment in my life. And so it was a profound experience for me. And people usually have some very major experience there. There's a couple of places where you can meditate. There's if you walk the ley line, there are certain places that you can stand along the ley line going through the church, and you can have your own experience there. For everybody, they turn out to be different because it all depends on where we are. And, you know, in this year, as I said, of awakening to our own divinity, we are opening up to all sorts of different experiences. And I'm sure a lot of you, if not all of you, last year, we're starting towards the end of last year and all that, we're feeling that you were much more connected to spirit and that you were opening up and you had these wonderful guides and you know, sort of masters and everything coming in to talk with you. And you were having different experiences of where you had these beings coming in and doing different things with your body and you were feeling all sorts of different things. And if any of you had some of those and want to talk about those, I'd be happy to talk about them. I had many of them myself last year. I've been having them for several years, but last year was like from about September on, they were almost every day. And and then that evening in St. Marie's Delamar, you will have a couple, you'll have a few hours to do some shopping and stuff like that there. And then at 7 o'clock, we will go and have dinner in St. Marie's Delamar before we get on the bus. And then we'll go back to Arles. And as well, every day there's a bullfight in St. Marie's Delamar, but it's not the bullfight that you would think about. The bullfight is, no bull is hurt or damaged in any way. And about 6 o'clock in the evening, you can watch them run the bulls through the streets. And what they do is they put money, euros, anything from 20s to 100 to 500 euros on the bull's horns. And the matador has to take the money off the bull's horns. And depending on how much money he takes off the bull's horns is what he gets paid. Because his bonus is based on how much he takes off. And so it is a very, I have not ever been there, but I've been told that's by a local man who also told me, because I asked him one day about the bulls. I said, why are these bulls, you know, sort of, do you kill the bulls? And then I thought he was going to kill me for asking such a stupid question. And so then he told me about the bulls, and I asked him, do they use them for meat? Oh, that was total sacrilege. And so I said, what do you do with these bulls when they die? He said, they're buried standing up facing east.
Wow.
And, you know, I firmly believe that the black bulls and the white horses, because the Camargue is famous for its black bulls and white horses, and it also has the flamingos, which you will see as well. And but I believe that the black bulls was about the sacred union. It was about the masculine and the feminine. And, you know, it is said that, you know, the reason that Sincere was black was that she could move through the streets and not be recognized. So she could move with ease. And so, and then if you take the black and the white, it's like the yin and the yang, the sacred union coming together. You have it, you know, you could have it at, you know, sort of the black as the female and the white as the masculine, or, you know, and you could have it as the Christ consciousness with Jesus bringing through the light and Mary Magdalene birthing that consciousness, because everything comes out of the dark. If you look at everything that's birthed, everything comes out of the womb, all the plants, everything comes out of the dark. And so I believe that the black bulls in some way symbolize all of this, but I'm not exactly, I haven't worked out exactly what it is yet, and I'm sure one of these days it will come to me in an aha. And so then after that, when the following morning we leave Arles and we head for Carcassonne. And we spend some time in the medieval city of Carcassonne. And there, this was an amazing city. It was very famous to the Druids and the Phoenicians and the pre-Celts and the Phoenicians. And it was a trading city. And so the Celts were very popular there as well. It was, of course, we're now coming into Qatar country. And here we are in where Mary Magdalene was extremely important to the Cathars, but we're in a different type of energy. And it's we have shifted from total Mary Magdalene energy to a blending of the Cathar and Mary Magdalene energy. And now we'll be coming very much into contact with Anna, the grandmother of Jesus. We'll be coming in with Mary Magdalene, with Saint Roch. We will start meeting those, of course, in Arles, but they become very prevalent in Carcassonne. And we will have that. There is some amazing symbology for us to look at some amazing experiences in the church in Carcassonne for us to experience. There is a painting of Jesus there where people have some amazing experiences. There is a little side altar with a statue of Mother Mary in it where people get beautiful messages from Mother Mary. It's a beautiful little side altar. And then we have, I guess, St. Roch, who was a traveling companion of Mary Magdalene, and he had a stigmata on his leg and just above his knee. And he died in jail in Montpellier. But he was a permanent traveling companion of Mary Magdalene's, and you will see him all over the south of France. And it will be, and of course we will meet a lot with Anna and Mary, and we will deal with that. And then the following day, we will get up in the morning and we will go to Minerve. And Minerve is a little town in the mountains, and here was the place of the Cathar burnings in the feast day of Mary Magdalene in 1210. And so 140 perfect people, as they were called, the perfected ones, and they were burnt. They walked into the fire after the end of the siege of Minerve. And so they took over Minerve by bombarding the well, and then they ran out of water. And so they had to surrender. And there's a beautiful museum there where we will see there's a whole story of the Cathars there. And there's a lovely man who handmade all of, put this whole museum together. It's a wonderful little museum. And of course, there's the Dove of Minerve. We will see that as well. And the goddess Minerve. And then we will, of course, go into, there's an ancient chapel there with a very special altar stone on it. We will go there, and we will go down to the site of the Cathar burnings. And now at the sites, you know, of the burnings, there is not ever any kind of, it's a place of joy, because all these people were fully immersed in their beautiful oneness, and they just walk straight into the fire without any feelings of hatred or fear or anything. And it's always a place of beauty because they were fully believed in everything that they were doing. And so they usually, what happened when they had their families raised, they went into their spiritual life. And it's like a lot of men in Indy, when they become to about 50, 55, they go into their spiritual life. Well, a lot of women and men in the Cathars, when they had their families raised, they decided to devote their lives full-time to their faith and their religion, and they believed that nobody separated them from God. And that was their big, big, big thing about, you know, with Rome. Rome, of course, wanted to have somebody between the people and God, and that way they could control them. And there was two thorns in their side. One was the Celtic Church, and one was the Cathars. And in 1180, Pope Adrian III issued a papal bull giving the King of England bestowing, because the Pope believed that he owned the whole world and that he had the rights over all the lands around the world. And so he bequeathed the land of Ireland to Henry III of England on condition that Henry III would go in and get rid of the Church of Illumination, the Church of Isa, in Ireland. And in return, Henry could keep all of the taxes and everything that he could collect from the people. But once a year, he had to collect a penny per family and send it to Rome. And that was the start of Peter's Pence. And so it started in Ireland. And so we finished up that. They got around just after 1200. Ireland was now under the control of Britain and under the control of Rome. So at that stage, all of the Cistercians and everything started, all the order started to come into Ireland. And that was the end of the Celtic churches started to fade away after that, because they built these modern monasteries and everything else. And now that the Pope had got rid and done a deal with the King of England to go to Ireland, he then went to the King of France and offered him a deal whereby he could have a land grab, because the Languedoc was not part of France at that time. And so he got Simon de Montfort, who was a general, and he got the King of France to help to go down and invade the Languedoc and get rid of the Cathars. And so by 1244, they were all gone. And so there's the Cathar prophecy, which was at that time, and which they left. And it was the final part of the getting rid of the Cathars. And it was an amazing prophecy. And this is what they left. And they said that the Church of Love would be proclaimed in 1986. It has no fabric, only understanding. It has no membership, says those who know they belong. It has no rivals, because it is non-competitive. It has no ambition. It seeks only to serve. It has no boundaries, for nationalisms are unloving. It is not of itself, because it seeks to enrich all groups and all religions. It acknowledges all great teachers of the ages who have shown the truth of love. Those who participate practice truth of love in all their being. There is no walk of life or nationality that is a barrier. Those who are know to seek not to teach, but to be, and by being enriched. So it goes on. So that's just a little bit of what it says. And anybody who comes on the trip or anybody who wants a copy of it, they can just email me and I will give it to them. But I will have them on the trip as well. And as we leave Minerve, we will stop in the lovely little village called Igni. And it is also known as the Snail Village. It's an artist colony. And there's some beautiful artists there. And there's also a little church there. And it has a little black Madonna in it. And we will go and see that. And that will be a wonderful experience for everybody. And then from there, we will go to our hotel near Rennes-le-Château. And then over the next 4 days, 5 nights, we will go to Rennes-le-Château. We will go to months ago. We will go to the Angel Sanctuary. We will go to see a beautiful Black Madonna at Lemoo, and we will go to the Healing Well there. We will go to the Goddess Chair. We will go to the Healing Wells. We will go to the Source. We will go to... where else will we go? We have, there's lots of places for us to go around here. We'll go to Arc. We'll go to Mount Bougerac, which was where an ancient Essene community was. And of course, in Arc is where it said that Mary Magdalene wrote her Gospels. And so we have 4 very busy days there. And we will, you know, experience lots of wonderful things there. We will have time for meditation. We will have time for journaling. It is not a fast moving pace, so we will have plenty of time every day to exchange our views, to talk, to experience, and to share and to journal and to visit the Angel Sanctuary. And the Angel Sanctuary is an amazing place. And there's 36 angels which you can meditate with. And each of these angels, one has a different experience. You will find that you're drawn to different angels. My favorite angel there is the Angel of Exploration. And she is just an amazing angel. All of these angels were painted by a lady who was training to be an Olympic athlete and got injured and got paralyzed and was in bed and paralyzed. And a being appeared to her and told her to start painting angels. And when she started painting angels, she had no more problems. She got up and she's got married and had a child and everything since. Just an amazing experience, an amazing woman. Herself and her husband are extremely lovely people. If you want to look up anything about it, it's called Laurie's Angels. And you'll find it there. And then after our time there, we will then... there are many things that we will see. You know, we will see up at Montsegur, which was the last resistance of where the Cathar prophecy was written. We will be there, and then of course we will have at Rinala Chateau with everything to do with Mary Magdalene and Father Saunier and all of that. We will be experiencing all of that. And each of these places have amazing energies. You will each get to sit on the goddess chair and feel the beauty, and we will have a water initiation at the source, which is right next to the goddess chair, which is just an amazing experience. I keep saying amazing experiences, but each day we will have at least 2 really, really amazing experiences each person, and some people may have more. And so, and then we depart for Lourdes. And, you know, Lourdes is a very, very wonderful place. And it is... The whole thing is you have to, when you go to Lourdes, you have to close your mind to all of the Roman Catholic stuff and do what you're there to do, is to experience the source of the water, because everything happens at the water, at the grotto. And, you know, there'll be lots of people, a couple of thousand people there. So I will show you a way of which we will walk through the grotto, and I will show you a way that you can feel the water through the palms of your hands, because there is a glass cover over the source itself. And as you go through, you will feel the water in the palms of your hands at the chakras there, and it'll enter your body, and you will feel like all sorts of wonderful experiences. Sometimes it takes up to about 3 times walking through it to get to open it up for people who have not been used to feeling with their hands. And so with everybody will eventually, it will happen. And people have all sorts of different healings there. And I myself had a hernia heal there. And people have, even people who didn't want to go to Lourdes, who only went to Lourdes because it was on the tour, had amazing experiences there. I have not had a person in 14 years tell me they did not have a good experience at Lourdes. And it transforms people, the energy of it, as long as you can keep yourself centered and out of all this, the stuff that they're trying to sell you, all of these things and everything else, and just stay centered. And it's a magnificent experience. You might find yourself in a different dimension. All sorts of different things happen. I've had people who've told me, no, I have no interest in Lourdes, and they're the people that spend all night down at the grotto. Or they leave the grotto at 11 o'clock at night, and suddenly they're back down at 4 o'clock in the morning again. And so, and there is, for anybody who wants it, you can have a total immersion in the waters of Lourdes. And I have not ever had this done myself, but I'm going to get it done this year, and we have the time to do it. And the reason, you know, I never really thought about it, but last September I had two people who wanted to do it. And so they went and did it. And it was just amazing watching the transformation that took place, watching their face, their eyes, everything that had changed in their life. And so it was just amazing. And so I thought that this year I would tell everybody about it, and I'm definitely going to do it myself this year. We have to be down there about 7 o'clock in the morning to do this. But I can assure you, from what I experienced last year with the people who did it, it is well worth doing it. And so when we get there, I will give you all the instructions of what to do and what time to be there. And then, of course, we leave Lourdes around midday, and we head for Rocamadour. And Rocamadour is this very, very, very special city built on the side of a rock, like a mountain, and it's built into the mountain. And Saint Amadeus was there, and his sword is in the side of the mountain, in the rock, and nobody's ever been able to pull it out. And there's a beautiful black Madonna there. There's churches with amazing experiences. There's a couple of three different levels of churches. And it is a very, very, very special place. And they used to have two black Madonnas. They used to have, but one of them disappeared 2 years ago, and I don't know what they did with her. But she was a very powerful black Madonna. She was in a boat. And she's gone. And they now, you know, when you ask where is she, they'll say she was never there. And I've had this happen in other places before, where there was two black Madonnas, and one of them would disappear, and you'd ask about them and say, I don't know what you're talking about. That was never here. And so these are the things that we will be experiencing. And then there is another little village just outside of Rocamadour. It's about a mile. And so we go there, and there is another black Madonna there in an ancient church. And it was an ancient site of Diana. So we will be there and experiencing all the energies of that. So that will be our whole experience in Rocamadour, which is an extremely special place. And then we will go from there to Toulouse. And we will visit the Basilica in Toulouse. And that brings us to the end of the tour. We will overnight in Toulouse, and people then depart for either they go to Paris or they catch a plane home or whatever it is that they want to do from there. But that is the whole journey of friends. So if you want to unmute your phones, you can do so, and I'm here to answer any questions as is flow. So do you have anything to say?
Well, you've covered it pretty well, Finbar. What I wanted to say to people was that we traveled to Scotland together, and we had an amazing trip there to a very special mountain called Quinag, and it's in Loch Assent. And what I was very taken by was during this trip, and we also went to other places together, I'm just very taken by, first of all, your knowledge of history and how the connection with the Divine Mother and the foundations of this, what we now think about spiritually as an important time for us as human beings, and the way that you stand for that and open to that is really amazing. And also, like you were talking about the symbology in different places, and my experience with you is that you know what these symbols mean. And sometimes I'll stand someplace and I see all these things and I don't understand what they are. And so you've actually gone through, I remember you were telling me, well, there's this many, we were at a doorway and you said, well, there's this many things and this means this and there's this many lentils. And, you know, you just have such a sacred geometry and awareness of that. So that's a background for the trip that I think is extremely valuable. And you've done it, as you say, many times, and you just have that sense of the rhythm of that part of the world, and of a lot of parts of the world. And for people who don't know me, I just wanted to say what my focus has been for about 28 years with my relationship with Magdalene is working with the soul and working with light, and some of the experiences that we're going to have, the initiations and so forth. That's, in a sense, what my practice is and what my experience has been in working with other people. So if you have any questions about any of that, I can answer that for you. And I did a lot of this trip when I was writing, I Remember Union, in 1989. So I've been there too, so it's been, you know, a fun experience to think about going back with you, Finbar.
Well, there is a lot of symbology there. There's a lot of things that people will really love. And there's a lot of powerful energy points. And everybody will have an experience with Mary Magdalene because she is very prevalent in it. And we all get messages from her. We all get whatever it is that we're open to receiving from her. She is there to help us.
Right. Definitely she is. Yeah. So if anyone has any questions or comments or anything, please unmute yourself. That's a *6. Maybe you answered all the questions, Finbar.
We must have answered all the questions.
We're all awestruck.
Yeah,
is that
it
Rosalyn?
Is.
Actually, I have a quick question. How many people do you normally take on this trip?
Anywhere from about 18 to 33.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
But 33 would be the very max, and 33 would include Flo and I. So it would be like 31 people plus Flo and I.
Right.
That would be the max we would do.
I had a question. Hi, my name is Joy. And
yes, Joy.
My question, how are you, Finbar? So, he's an old friend. I remember him. Anyway, so I have a question because I remember when you first started talking, you said you were talking about this climb that took 45 minutes. And it was in the early part of the trip. And this happens before you go to Lourdes, right?
Oh, it does, yeah. This happens the second day. There are three
climbs. The
second
day.
Yeah,
okay.
The climb up to the grotto, which is about 45 minutes. And it's a steady climb up you know, the roadway just goes up and turns around, and then you have some steps at the end. And with that takes about 45 minutes. But we stop several times on the way up, and we stop at the well, and so that people can experience the water there and drink some water and do all of that at the source. And then we move on up then again. When we get to the well, we're just over halfways. And then there's when we go to Minerve, that's another day of a little climbing and walking. But it's not as strenuous as it was at the grotto. And then at Montsegur is strenuous. It's a trail. And that takes about, again, about 40 minutes.
So let's say if you wanted to do this trip, but you knew physically you couldn't do that, is it okay to skip that part? You're not having to sign up for every single thing. You can do that
you don't. Mm-hmm. And so what people usually do, because I every year I have a couple of people that are not able to do, they can do the grotto, they can do the Minerve, but mm-hmm. when it comes to the mountain trail to walk up to Montsegur, they just, mm-hmm. I either leave them down in the village of Montsegur, I give them the choice of staying in the village of Montsegur, or they can mm-hmm. come up and sit with the bus, and there's a mm-hmm. field there, and they can sit in the field and just watch us all climb up through the thing. Mm-hmm. And so you're in the energy of the whole place, and you can bring something to eat or something to read, or you can meditate or do whatever it is. So there's space there for you, and you will be in the energy of the place, or if you want to stay back at the hotel for the day, that is also fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Joy, I just wanted to say that, first of all, the field at Montsegur is amazing, and that just being in that field would be amazing for anyone. The other thing that's interesting is we talked about Lourdes before you got on Finbar as being a place of healing, but also when we're talking about the well and the grotto and so forth, those are also extremely healing places. And I think, Joy, you know, correct me if I'm incorrect, but I think you would be coming also to experience that healing part. So I think each part is going to have its own healing capacity.
Yeah. That happens in all the ways along the line. You know, people have different healings and little mini healings and some major, and they'll have some emotional things happen to them. And then, you know, you don't know what's going to happen to you at Lourdes. I've had several people who've had major healings at Lourdes. And, you know, I am a great believer in Lourdes. And it is just an amazing place. And we just have to, like, you know, because the ushers and everything try to move you through fast, and they don't understand what we're doing. So we just go very slowly, and we move along, and we get everybody to feel the water. And we go through at least three times in the afternoon. And then at 9 o'clock when the procession starts, the healing procession, and I don't understand, because it starts and it goes all the ways up to the top of the grounds and come all the way back down and finish at the basilica. And so there's not a lot of people at the grotto. And the grotto is where all the healing takes place, not at the basilica. And so to me, at 9 o'clock, we hit the grotto. And we have about an hour where there's not a lot of people going through the grotto, because most people have gone off in the procession.
Nice.
And so that is a wonderful time for us to be at the grotto. And so we have between 9 and 10 o'clock virtually, and we have, you know, not a lot of people at the grotto. So I always look at that as our time at the grotto.
This whole thing sounds amazing. It really does.
Yeah, and you know, we've had experiences there where people have been in different dimensions and not seen one another at the grotto. I was there one night, and Claire Hartson was there, and Claire couldn't find me, and I couldn't see them. with Claire and Noah was having an experience. So she says, let's go across and be with Finbar. They came across and couldn't find me. And then I got to the hotel, and there's the whole group. And I said, where were you? And they said, well, we were at the grotto. And I said, well, I was at the grotto. They said, no, you weren't.
You went time traveling, you did, huh?
Yeah. Well, all sorts of, I'm just telling you that as an example. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what's going to happen to you at the grotto, you know?
Yeah.
Or any place along this journey. And it happens on all of the journeys, but more so in France. You know, to me, this is possibly the most transformative journey that I do. And then, you know, you then have all the other ones that come up. You know, you have Peru and you have Egypt that are amazing journeys for transformation. But then you have Ireland and England and Scotland. They're all amazingly, but the number one in my opinion, the top three are France, Egypt, and Peru. And then after that, you have Ireland and Scotland and all of the other ones. And Italy is also an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. So they all have their own different things, and they speak to different parts of one's matrix and spirituality. And they open up different things, you know, sort of within your soul's journey, within your divinity. You know, sort of you can have an experience with St. Catherine of Siena, or you can have it with St. Francis of Assisi. And, you know, I was at St. Anthony's Cathedral in Pravda. And then I went to Assisi, and I had my experience with St. Anthony at the Basilica in Assisi. There's a side chapel there with a chapel of St. Anthony, and I went in there, and I had a much bigger experience in there with St. Anthony than I did at his own place. And so you never know what's going to open up for you. And then next door to it, there was one with a little chapel of Mary Magdalene. And again, but nearly everywhere I go with Mary Magdalene or Mother Mary, I'm going to have an experience anyway. So, and I had huge experience there. And so you don't know when they're going to happen.
Okay.
Well, this is Bea in Frederick, Flo, and I'm very interested. I have to look some more into it, but it sounds fascinating.
We'd love to have you, Bea. Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I look more into it. I was I was with Karen today, and she's also interested.
Wonderful,
so
wonderful.
It will be lovely to go, so I'll be in touch. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Bea.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else got any more questions? Well, that looks like it, Flo.
That's it.
All right, well, thank you.
This is
thank
Dorothy.
You all for
I'll
coming.
See you. I'll see you next week, Finbar.
Okay, I'll send you an email. I'll possibly see you. I'm arriving Tuesday.
Okay,
so,
good.
So
yeah, I'll be
I'll
around all week, so. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I'm coming
Dorothy.
To the
thank
workshop Thursday. I don't think I registered, but I'm coming.
That's okay.
Yeah. I'll see
okay.
you then.
I'll see you then. Thanks.
Okie dokie. Thanks a lot. See you next week.
Thank
Thanks.
You, everybody.
Bye. Okay.
Thank
you.
I
good night.
The description very much. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you,
everyone.
Thank
you,
everyone. Bye. Thank you. Bye. Joy. I didn't realize we had so many people on.
Yeah, I started to take names. Let me see.
I will have a list
three,
of all
four,
of them.
Five,
we'll
six,
pop
seven,
up
eight,
and
nine,
when
nine,
I get the thing from pre-conferencing.
Yeah, I had about 25 names.
Yeah.
And a lot of them actually were from my group, and the ones I didn't know were interested. So this is great. So great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I'll give you a call, and we'll talk about my arrangements and stuff, okay?
Okay, yeah. And,
all right.
And hold on a second before you go. We have 15 spots left.
Okay,
just so that if anybody asks, you know, they're sitting around. We have we have 16, and so that's what we have left. If we're cutting it off at 33, that would leave.
That feels good to me. Yeah, it feels good to me. Okay. All right. Awesome.
Okay.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Okay.
God bless.
Bye bye now.
Bye.
God bless you, honey. Bye bye.
Hi. Hello.